Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvina Patitamastu Mavidrishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We are beginning a new section, the second chapter, the first volley of the second chapter. It starts with Paranchikani, the external sense organs, the sense organs that are looking outward. Verse 1. I'm just going to do a little bit of Sanskrit. I'm going to translate something that is there in your introduction to this verse, because it's kind of nice how Shankara introduces this chapter 2. He says, Esha sarveshu bhuteshu guratma na prakashate. He says, this atma, esha atma, esha ha atma, this atma, it is guda, it is hidden. It is hidden. So, eshaha guratma, this self is hidden. Sarveshu bhuteshu, in all beings. Right? This atma, which is hidden in all beings, na prakashate, it isn't known. The self is here. The self is not known. It's not known in the sense that it na prakashate means it doesn't shine as itself. Because it's hidden in all beings, and the only way we experience it as through the upadis, through this body, mind, sense organs, is through the lens of the upadis. Mm-hmm. You're never experiencing the self. There's no viveka there, you know, to experience, to recognize for the mind or the sense organs, right? To recognize that this self is other than itself. Why would my mind think that the conscious being is other than it when its own, the only one that is thinking about it is the one who is pervaded by it? Mm. Right? The mind is never without the self. So when the mind is there, the self is. So any vritti you have, the self is there. Why would it think that it is not the self? So because of that, until that viveka, that discrimination is there, we say it's guda atma. The self being hidden in all beings, na prakashate, means it doesn't appear as it is. It doesn't shine as it is. So then it says, drishyate tu, but, drishyate, it is seen, agriya buddhya, it is seen by the buddhi, which is agra. Agra means single-pointed. Agra is like if you have a blade of grass, the tip of the blade of the grass is agra. Mm-hmm. So by the buddhi, which is single-pointed, it says, but it is seen by the buddhi, which is single-pointed. Thus it has been said, ityuktam. This has been said. So the self is hidden, doesn't shine as itself, it's hidden in all beings, because it's not available just as itself. But it is something which is seen by the single-pointed buddhi. Thus it has been said. So now it says, next sentence. So this is just, you know, the upodgata, what we call the introduction into this chapter. Why are we starting a new chapter? Is that, why is it? So then he says, after that, he says, kaha punaha pratibandha. Well then, he says, kaha, what then, kaha puna, what again, tell us again, what is the pratibandha? What is the obstruction then, agrayaya buddhehe, of this single-pointed buddhi, because, tet abhavat means, because of the absence of which, so what is the pratibandha? What is the pratibandha for this single-pointed buddhi? In other words, the absence, because of the absence of which, the atma na drishyate, the atma isn't seen. So if you say it's by the single-pointed buddhi that the atma can be seen, well, why is it being seen then? What is missing? What is the obstruction? Because if the buddhi can be single-pointed, what now? What else does it need? That's the idea. Because of the absence of what, due to the absence of what, the atma is not seen. What is that pratibandha? Pratibandha means obstruction. You know? Sometimes we talk about pratibandhika jnanam. It's a technical term. Somebody has pratibandhika jnanam. We have knowledge with obstructions. What are those obstructions? So here, if you say the single-pointed buddhi, the atma can be seen, well, what is it that needs to be removed? What needs to happen? What is missing because of which this buddhi is not seen, not recognizing the atma? So then he says, iti tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha vali arabhyate. Is this vali, this section, arabhyate, is begun, right, for the purpose of artha. So he says, tad adarshana karana pradarshanartha. Vali is feminine. So this vali is begun whose purpose, whose artha is showing the cause of the not seeing of that. Mm-hmm. Ted adarshana, the not seeing of that, adarshana, darshana is seeing, so adarshana, the not seeing of that, karana, what is the cause for not seeing that? Ted adarshana karana, so he says, ted adarshana karana, pradarshana artha, so he says, the purpose of this folly, right, is the showing, the seeing, of the cause for not seeing that. That's why we're doing it. Okay. Then he says, "Vignatehi shreya pratibandha karane tad apanayanaya yatnaha arabdhum shakyate na anyata iti." So now he says, this last little sentence for it. He says, "Vignate," when it is known, when what is known. He means because of vignatehi, because when shreya pratibandha karane, when it's called absolute lack of, when the cause for the obstruction of shreyas, of moksha, shreyas is moksha, the absolute good, when the cause for the obstruction of shreyas, vignate, is known. Vignana means not just known intellectually, but recognized, known, really known, really seen. So wouldn't that, because when that, the cause for the obstruction to moksha is known, tad apanayanaya yatnaha arabdhum shakyate. Effort, yatnaha, effort, arabdhum shakyate, is able to begin for the elimination of that. Mm-hmm. If you know what's wrong, you can then take action to eliminate it. Na anyata, not otherwise. You don't know what's wrong. If you don't know what the obstruction is, you don't know what the problem is, there's no way you can do anything about it. And so in this section is really, really, really wonderfully getting into knowledge of what is necessary, how it takes place. What is the problem, and how to fix it. So that's the introduction to this verse. Just for your information, for the future, Katha Upanishad, this bhasha, is the first, when you do a 3-year course, this bhasha is the first bhasha that is taught. And I think the reason is, this bhasha, this commentary, and the commentary for the Bhagavad Gita, both Shankara, is very accessible. And this, the both the Bhagavad Gita and the Katha Upanishad both are really focused on knowledge without a lot of culture, without a lot of upasana. Some of the like Chandogya Upanishad and the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the Isha Upanishad, so many of them are 50% upasanas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also you can go on page after page after page with things that take a long time to get to where you want to go. Really long time. Chapters. The Katha Upanishad's not like that. Neither is the Kena. Swamiji would always teach the Kena first because it's a short Upanishad, very direct, but he wouldn't teach the Bhasha, the commentary. Then he would teach the Katha Upanishad with the Sanskrit commentary. And so that's after he'd been teaching Vedanta itself for about 6 months or so. Then he would up the ante. And I'd always go to the class and I'd go home and cry my eyes out in my room.
Yeah.
But they couldn't follow. It took, even though I'd been studying Sanskrit and, you know, I couldn't follow. Do you see all that writing? Mm-hmm. My little hand would write as fast as it could, writing down all the meanings of the words and everything. You know, even, I just have to laugh, like if I had a word like Asha or Cha, and Chaisha, this va or kaha what. But I stuck with it, and after about a month, then you're in, you know. But the commentaries have their own style, so they really do have to be taught, because it's not just like reading. There's a style, because it's also unfolding the verse. You know, so you have to learn that style. There's a lot of use of synonyms and things like that, so it's really exciting. But it's a very thrilling to be able to read it. And I remember the first time when Swamiji first started teaching the three-year course, I'd say like 1 or 2 months into it, 2 months, 2 or 3 months into it, he said, every single thing that I'm saying now, right, is I will be able to say at the end of the course. In other words, there's nothing that he says now that he'll have to negate at the end of the course. That's one thing he said, which is absolutely true. And the other thing he said, and none of this is mine. Every single thing that I say, you will actually see in these commentaries, in these bhashas. The examples that I use, even though we do use certain examples. There's all of these stock examples that are used, and all of these prakriyas that are used, they're all here. So it's a sampradaya that has thousands of years of these drishtantas, illustrations and things that have stood the test of time. That's why when we're teaching, we're a little careful about bringing in other drishtantas. Mm-hmm. Drishtantas means illustrations to make a point. Because they often, you haven't thought of some of the pitfalls of the drishtantas, you know? And so you're careful. You have to be very careful when you use a drishtanta. But we have certain drishtantas that we can just use and use and use because they do what they're supposed to do. And you don't run into limitations with them, you know? But then we use all the acharyas all through the ages also. And this is even said in the Taittiriya Upanishad. The acharya is the teacher. The acharya has to be an acharya of your time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the specific, we call vishesha dharmas, the dharmas of the era, the dharmas of the time, of the culture, change. There's what we call the sadharana dharmas, the universal dharmas, like do unto others as you would have done to yourself. You know, there's universal dharmas that apply in every culture and at all times. But then there are specific dharmas also, you know, that change, that they change with the time. And so when you're in doubt about dharma, the Taittiriya will say you go to an acharya or a Shrestha Purusha, means a respected person to you, of your time, you know. And so there will also be, throughout the ages, there will be drishtantas, illustrations, that are used, you know, stories, for instance, like Swamiji tells so many stories, so many jokes, that are stories and jokes of our time, that are meant to make a statement that we can relate to. Now, say, in 300 years, somebody might have to write a bhasha on the jokes that we tell to explain the context. You know, so. So anyway, so having said this little introduction, here's the verse, so repeat after me. Paranchikani vyatranat swayam bhuhu. Paranchikani vyatranat swayam bhuhu. Tasmat parang pashyati nanyaratman. Tasmat parang pashyati nantaratman. Kaschit dhirav pratyagatmana atmanam aikshat. Kaschit dhirav pratyagatmanam aikshat. Avritta chakshuramitattvamicham. Avritta chakshuramitattvamicham. Paranchi kani vyatranat swayam bhuhu. Tasmat parang pashyati nantaratman. Oh, let me see, verse 70. Paranchi kani vyatranat swayam bhuhu. Tasmat parang parak sandhi parak pashyati na antar atman kaschit dhiraha pratyak atmanam aikshat avrita chakshuhu amritatvam icchan. So this is a famous, famous, famous verse. It says, Paranchikani, the outgoing sense organs, your eyes, your ears, your sense of smell, your sense of touch, your sense of taste, all five sense organs are directed outward. So Paranchi means outward. So these sense organs go out. So they're all directed outward, you know, toward the sense objects, all five of them, okay? So, Paranchikani Vyatranat Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu, the Lord, the one whose existence is self-effulgent, comes from itself. In other words, it's free of cause. The Bhagavan's existence is because it exists, not because it's a product. So the one whose existence is timeless. So swayam means itself, one's own self. Buhu, it's his being is his own self. He's not a product, no cause and effect. So the Lord means, Swamiji goes, the self-existent Lord. So nice to have his things here. Swayam buhu, the self-existent Lord, Vyatranat, has killed these sense organs which are going outward. He messed, he wrecked them. So Anjio, he killed them, he destroyed them, he screwed them up. Okay. Paranchikani vyatranat swayam bhuhu. Tasmat, therefore, parang pashyati. We see what is external. We see the external world, parak. Na antaratman, not the inner self. That Atman is what we call chandas. It's Vedic Sanskrit, so in Sanskrit it would be Atman. And you know that because it's in the commentary. Shankara, the modern commentators, means in classical Sanskrit, when Vedic Sanskrit is being used, you know, or there's a difference between the Vedic and the classical Sanskrit, then they will always say Atman, chandasam, Atmanam for us, right? So that you know that this is in the accusative. So Bhagavan, he kind of spoiled, he destroyed the outgoing sense organs, therefore they only see outward, they don't see the inner self, they don't see the antaratma. Atma, which is inside, because he made them, but they're only going outward, right? Now they can't go inward, so he messed up. That's what it is. So I'm always joking about it. Kaschit dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshit. But kaschit dhiraha, a wise person, some viveki, kaschit means someone, not like a wise person, not the wise person, but some wise person, some person who had some viveka. Kaschit dhiraha namata pratyagatmanam aikshit. He saw this innermost self. And he says, in the Bhasha, it'll say, Aikshat is in the past tense, but you really mean Ikshati.
Mm-hmm.
He sees. Because it should go all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But this some person who has this viveka, that person is able to see this innermost self, right? Pratyagatmanam Aikshat. How? Avrita Chakshuhu Amritatvam Ichan. He's able to see, and that one, having shut down his sense organs. So if you say, chakshu, chakshuhu, that's one eye. Having shut down the eye, which stands for the whole sense organs. Mm-hmm. So this one person, this particular person, having closed his sense organs, because they're not useful. They're all going out, right? So having avrita, having covered his sense organs, why would that one person, having covered his sense organs, he sees that innermost self, pratyagatma. Amritatvam ichan, that person desiring immortality, the person desiring immortality, he sees that innermost self. Because he has to be desiring immortality, or as the Bhasha says, like the river going back to the source. You know, the river is going out toward the ocean. It's flowing, but now you want to go back to the source. And that's what's happening with us. The consciousness is flowing as though, out through the sense organs, you know. And so we're following along wherever they're going. But then we see, as we'll see in the next verse, probably next class, they're going this way, and then all of our world and everything we're seeking and all of our possibilities, all of our hopes and dreams are following the direction of our sense organs, because that's all the sense organs can give us. That's why Bhagavan he killed them. You know, he should have made them so they could go all the way around. They're looking out here. And then when you want to know yourself, they'll just go, you know, and like a mirror, you know, just focus on your own being. But no, these sense organs do not have that capacity. Your eyes only have the capacity to see color, to see form. That's it. Your ears, the eyes can't turn around and see something formless, right? They can't do that. The sense of touch can only feel. The sense of taste can only taste. That's what it's meant for. And so if we're following our sense organs, trying to fulfill ourselves or complete ourselves or really find ourselves, yeah, that's absolutely not going to work. And the viveki, some dhiraha, remember these, what we call the sadhana chatushtya, this group of fourfold sadhanas, the viveki, the one who has discrimination, you know, recognizes it's not going to work. It won't work. These five sense organs, following them along, we're only in the world, we're not at all in the world of amritatvam, of immortality. We're only stuck. We're trapped in the world of mortality. You know? There's no immortality here. That's what we mean by dhiraha. That dhiraha has to see there's no immortality here. There's nothing constant here. You know? I want something that is real. I want something that is constant. So amritatvam ichan, desiring that immortality, you know, that person shuts down, no longer depends upon the sense organs, and has to recognize the pratyagatma. So how he's going to do that, we have to see that. But there's a recognition, there's a viveka there. Because once I see, this will not give me any type of immortality or any type of lasting anything, lasting ananda, then these sense organs become closed. They become useless for me. Because they cannot deliver what I want. They're useful in a practical way. But they're not useful to give me what I desire. And so desiring immortality, he withdraws from these sense organs and turns his vision toward the Pratyekātmā, go like the river trying to go back to its source. And so then that's when he will meet a teacher. So kaschit dhīraha, the kaschit dhīraha means that, dhīra means that viveki. The viveki is the viveki of the viveka, vairagya, shamadhamma, the shamadhamma, upadatita tiksha, this group, and the mumukshitam. That's the viveka we're talking about here. Because that, it's only that person that recognizes that, that gains any vairagya or any mamukshitvam. When you realize, I cannot solve this problem. I cannot solve it because the sense organs and the means of knowledge I have available to me cannot take me past mortality. They cannot take me outside of the world of change. And so therefore it's absolutely impossible for these sense organs in mind to give me anything that has to do with immortality, or with freedom, or with shreyas, the moksha, with an ananda that is not temporary, not with a sukha that's not bordered by dukkha. You know, it's not possible. That's the viveka. That viveka leads to vairagya, a dispassion for those things, because even though practically I can enjoy them, absolutely I don't really. Because they're not... Until I fulfilled this initial quest, these things are not good enough. Once I've fulfilled the initial quest, then I can have all kinds of fun. I can enjoy this and enjoy that and have fun doing that and just do what is to be done. That's all fine, because I'm fine. But these things will not make me fine. That's the problem. And so I gain vairagya. I can't help it. It's not like, I say, okay, now that I have viveka, let's have a little vairagya. It's not like that. It's that viveka itself brings about that vairagya, because the initial problem cannot be taken care of by the world. And once I realize that, I become a mamukshu. Because once I realize that the world, the objectified world, cannot take care of the problem, you know what that means? I cannot take care of this problem. I need help. That's when you throw your hands up to Bhagavan. If you're there, now is the time. I remember having that prayer. You know, now is the time. You know, because I saw clearly, every one of us, we have to come to that point where you see it clearly. You know, and then that mumukshutvam becomes something real. Otherwise, it's just like an intellectual idea. But no, it's not. Mumukshutvam is real. It's a real state of experience. And then that person becomes an adhikari for this knowledge. So this viveka, vairagya, mumukshutvam is what makes the adhikari. And then you have an adhikari spectrum. You have the uttama adhikari, you know, the one who is just ready to receive this knowledge, like Shvetaketu. His father teaches him, and teaches him, goes through it 9 times, and okay, that's it, clear. His mind has the antakarana shuddhi, it has vairagya, doesn't have a lot of complexes and all that, uttama adhikari. Madhyama adhikari, you know, has some problems and issues that it has to work with. And mandana, that's mandana, madhyama and mandana is, you know, has some dullness and whatever. It's a spectrum. We're all on that spectrum, you know. But every single one of us is a mumukshu. You're still a mumukshu. It's just there's more or less things to deal with. When you meet your teacher, you think about how interesting that is. You can meet your teacher. In any case, you have to meet your teacher. You can meet your teacher when you still have a lot of problems, or you can meet, it's all your prarabdha. You meet your teacher when you still have a lot of problems and issues, and your teacher will help you with those problems and issues, you know, but you have to go through all of that suffering, but you would go through it anyway. With or without your teacher, you have to go through all that suffering. Or you're more in the middle. Not so many issues. You have kind of a dharmic life, dharmic parents and whatever, and you have a certain amount of antakarana shuddhi naturally, so less issues. You meet your teacher. Or, you know, you spend a life, a prayerful dharmic life with dharmic parents in a dharmic society. That's a problem. That's for us. It's not going to happen, that part. And so Swamiji says, there's no uttama adhikaris now. Just forget that. The society itself is too adharmic, you know, for us not to be wounded. So we all have wounds. It's just how it is. But we're still mumukshus. You're just on scale somewhere, but you are a mumukshu, and because you're a mumukshu, you meet your teacher. That's it. You know, there's no, once there's, the mumukshutvam is not negated because you have a few emotional problems or a lack of clarity here and there, and this adharmic way of behaving here or there. It's not enough to take away the mumukshutvam. To have the mumukshutvam in the first place, there has to be a great deal of antakarana shuddhi. Even though you're suffering, there's still a tremendous amount of antakarana shuddhi, according to the shastra. You know? Crores and crores and crores and crores of punya to bring you to a birth where you have a good buddhi, you know, the ability to discriminate, and enough antakarana shuddhi for that mumukshutvam to be there, all of these things, then to have the, then with the mumukshutvam, then to meet a teacher, and then to be able to listen to this, and then to get this knowledge, they go through a step by step by step by step. What a huge, huge, huge blessing that is. Takes crores and crores and crores and crores, lifetimes of punya, to have the type of shanti and resolve in your mind to have any interest at all in this knowledge. So that's a few, I mean, I think that to me, it's just such a beautiful thing to understand. It's also, should be a relief also, because if the mumukshutvam is there, all to me, if you can look at it like this, I mean, I certainly had my load of issues to deal with. You know, not that they're all gone either. But, and, you know. But the thing is, you might think, well, I wish I would meet my teacher after all those issues are gone. As long as you're a mumukshu, I'm glad to meet my teacher as soon as possible. You know?
That's right.
And take care of all of these issues. To help me take care of all of these issues. Rather than having to go lifetime after a lifetime sorting out all of this stuff, you meet your teacher because you're a mumukshu. You still may have issues to deal with, or you may not have issues to deal with, but you're a mumukshu. And it's the mumukshutvam, when that mumukshutvam is there. And when we say the mumukshutvam is there, the mumukshutvam is very clearly defined what we mean by it. The viveka, the vairagya, you know, and the mumukshutvam. That's the definition, very clearly, of what that is. So the viveka is viveka. It's not that I want to be free if I could only astral travel, you know, or if I could only have the power in my mind to direct, like kind of like Swarga Loka. Mm-hmm. If I want this, I can concentrate it, and it will manifest for me. If I could just have those powers, I would be free. And that means we haven't understood, right? So the viveka, the mumukshu, is the one who's really recognized those limitations. And at that time, according to the shastra, you will attract whatever situation, whatever teachers you need to be able to fulfill that, because it's your sense organ waiting to be worn. That means of knowledge is there. All that has to happen, you know, is that your desire attracts that means of knowledge to you. Otherwise you don't need it until you're a mumukshu. You have no use for it, you know. You only have use for that knowledge when you want it. Where is it? And that's enough, I think. And we'll go on with these verses. The verses are so good. I love the Upanishad. Om Swasti Prajapya Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahimihishaha. Ko pramane pyashya bhamastu nityam Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu Kale varshati parajanyaha Prithivi sasya shalini Desho yamcho parahitaha Brahmana santu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukkha bhak bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amatangamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.